Hey, folks. Welcome to the Rebel Madman Radio program here. At Republic Broadcasting Network. And what an appropriate song as a lead-in for our subject today. But before I jump into a lot of that, let me take care of some housekeeping here. Normally, this program is a three-hour program. Today, it will only be two, as I wanted to provide an extra hour for my fellow Blackball Spook, Blackbird 9, to be able to do his annual roundtable for this time of year. And so when we complete our second hour, I will jump off for just a few minutes to take care of some necessary things, I'm sure. And then I'll come back on because Blackbird 9 has invited me to be a part of his program. And I'm very happy to be included in that group. Well, that being said, you know, we also need to think about some other things too as well, and that would be number one is let's get out there and let's find a way to support RBN, because the avenues of truth are evaporating very quickly, people, kind of like a snowfall in southern Arizona in late July. They are going away big time, I promise you. I feel a bad moon rising, and it is. And also, folks, as I said earlier, please do not hesitate to help us out here on this platform at RBN at your convenience. But one of the things was that happened this week, or, you know, within the past 10 days, I know we've had holidays, I've lost track of the exact days. But one of the things that is really troubling me is this, and that is this week I heard, or within the past 10 days, I heard a Republican Party conservative icon and a far left-wing Marxist lifetime Democrat promote and ask for the same objective. Now, folks, I realize that for most of you who are out there worried about who's going to be national champions in college football, you probably haven't stopped to think about any of this whatsoever. And, of course, that's to be expected. The masses don't want to know anything but that which would make them comfortable. So I was thinking about the title of my program today, which will be, is this free immigration or is this an invasion? And has it happened previously in our history? Now, let's not forget old George Santayana, and I'm paraphrasing here, folks, said, "Those who fail to learn the lessons of history are destined to repeat its mistakes." And boy, we sliding down that slide wide open heading for another classic mistake. But this past week or 10 days, as I said before, I heard the senator from the great state of Illinois, you know, the land of Lincoln, he made a comment and he said that it is vitally critical that we get immigrants into our military because our military can't recruit right now. I wonder why no one wants to be in the United States military. Well, it makes at least 22 people a day kill themselves. Might be an answer in there somewhere. But anyway, that is what we're looking at, you know, with the, you know, let's, all of these things that are going on with our military. And it really is not making sense, people. It's not making sense at all. You know, Durbin wants to bring these illegals in and put them in military uniform so that they can become citizens. Well, you know, and then this week I heard almost the identical proposal from none other than that great right-wing conservative very wealthy radio host, book number one book-selling author, and a complete Marxist from toe to the top of his head, and that would be none other than Mark Levin. And Mark Levin was saying, we need to go back to the principles of Abraham Lincoln. We need to get these immigrants into uniform and then promise them citizenship if they'll just get. But the problem is that in Lincoln's time, they weren't offered an option. If you got off the boat in New York and you were a male over the, of productive age, anything over 16, you were going into Union Army. That was part of the deal. You weren't asked if you wanted to. You were just put into the Union Army. And we had that, and then hundreds of thousands. Some people say tens of thousands. I disagree. Of Marxists who had escaped Europe in 1848 and were coming to America, who were actually put into Union Army uniforms when they could not even speak English. And normally they were commanded by other Marxists whom Lincoln had appointed to those positions. But folks, I think about this illegal immigration or invasion. You know, one of the things I guess that probably gets to me more than anything else is there is a code in our United States codes. It's 8. I'm thinking 1325. Don't hold me to it. I'll put it in the show notes here when I finish. But there's something in there that says that illegal immigration is a crime, and facilitating illegal immigration is sometimes even a felony punishable by as much as 10 years in prison. Folks, that's what's troubling me today, is because I know about 535 people in Washington, D.C. who run this country who are all in the midst of committing a felony by their own code. Not our code, the code they wrote, or their predecessors wrote. They are now violating it. And if the law enforcement of this country wanted to actually enforce the law as a law enforcement officer, there would be massive arrests of government officials who are promoting and facilitating, aiding and abetting illegal immigration into this country. Well, they should have started with right after Red Ronnie Reagan pardoned, 3 million illegals? It's funny how you get pardoned for committing crimes that aid the government when you never get pardoned for crimes that oppose the government. Now, has anyone else looked at this and thought, guys, there's something seriously wrong here? And we have a Congress, and we have a president, and we have an attorney general, and we have members of the bench, federal bench, and the state benches, who are all committing felonies, facilitating these wonderful illegal immigrants. And yes, they are illegal. 8 U.S.C. 1325, again, I believe is, correct me if I'm wrong, someone, but that to me is exactly what it is. And why is our law enforcement community not enforcing the law? Because they know that if they even attempted to do so, they would be out of a job post-haste. So, look at your government again, people. Look at your government. Your government is committing a crime. If we look at Article 3, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, it states that, and I'm paraphrasing again, is that treason is participating in war against the states. Okay, what is happening to these states? What is happening to them? Why is this allowed to happen? Well, folks, one of the things that's always puzzled me, if you've ever been in the military, one of the first things you're taught, with me, even before I got a uniform and a haircut, was border or perimeter security. And you had those, that field manual, that Army field manual, drilled into your head, the three G's: guards, gates, and guns. That's how you protect your perimeter. Guards, gates, and guns. Why isn't it being done in America? Why do our military installations need to be protected, but our country does not? The greatest false BS in the world had to be George W. Bush. Oh, we need to fight them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. What? But you leave the borders open. And you call the people who tried to protect the border vigilantes. Whose side were you on, W? Or were you in a constant cocaine haze for the majority of your life up until now? People, this makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever why this is being allowed to happen. Why can illegals just walk across that border when there are laws to, and why can't a, if you were a cop in West Los, Louisiana, and you stop someone, you can't ask them if they're a legal immigrant. Why not? Why can't you ask someone if they're breaking the law? You do it in everything else. What do you think would happen in America tomorrow if a whole legion of cops who swear an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, what would happen if they showed up en masse, in person, on January the 2nd? Or they could go on January the 6th if they want to. Wouldn't that be appropriate? If they actually went to Washington, D.C. and arrested these people who are violating the law on a daily basis. Now, it's not going to happen. You and I both know it's not going to happen. It's a pie-in-the-sky dream because they're never going to enforce the law. They're only going to enforce the laws that they are told to enforce. And here's the thing that I've asked so many times. We've been at war now since September of 2001, right? So we're already 22 years of war, going on 23. All right? And yet, during that entire time, we have said, no, we can't protect our borders. Well, you know, what a great political issue for someone to gather to really jump on, like the orange man from New York City, who jumped on this. Oh, he's going to build a wall. Well, if he was going to build a wall, and if the Republicans are concerned about building a wall and funding it, just skip an election. If all of the resources that had been spent in 2020 by the Republican Party to promote their candidates would have been spent, there could have been two walls built, one next to the other, 6 feet apart. But did that happen? No, because they're not concerned about security for the people. They are concerned about themselves. They don't care. It is not part of anything that they are concerned with. It just doesn't happen. And if you can't see this, and hey, let's throw something out there too. Let's look at a couple of other figures. Folks, what about all of the money that has been sent to the Ukraine, which profits America zilch, zero, nothing, goose egg? America gets absolutely nothing from this. But, oh my goodness, what else do we get? We get all kind of good stuff happening, you know. We've got open borders. We can let all of these people in. And then we put them in military uniforms. Well, but back to all that money that went to the Ukraine. Folks, do you realize for a moment that with the money that we have spent to the sent to the Ukraine, which probably ended right back in the pockets of most of our American politicians, because they're not going to let you track that money, and they're certainly not going to do it for you. If they did, it would be a lie. But, I mean, here we go with all of this stuff that's happening over and over and over again. We send all of these billions of dollars to the Ukraine. Did you know that if we had taken that money that went to the Ukraine, we could have built 5 walls across the Mexican border? Not one, not two, not three, not four, 5. And what good has that money done the American citizen, the person who's out there trying to protect their homes and their property? How has it assisted them? People, if you can't figure out that this entire system is designed to destroy you while it protects the international banking cabal and their best wishes, and if you don't hurry up and get a hold on this, it's going to be a critical issue. But now I kind of wanted to take you folks back to the year late 2004. By late 2004, I had lived in southern Arizona for something over 9 years. And we had horses. We loved our horses. We loved to ride, go out into the desert and ride. And of course, all you folks who've ever ridden in the desert know you never go out there without a comb. No, it's not to comb your hair. It's to make sure that you, when your horse gets one of those things we call the jumping cactus and starts acting and misbehaving, you have something to get that cactus out of their legs without a great deal of problem. But that, you know, we had learned, and we first got there in early 93, and we had learned very quickly of all of the illegal immigrants that were crossing the border just south of us. And we were west of Tucson in a community called Three Points. And many times on rides, it got to the point to where after the second time my wife had encountered some illegals who were really pushy there in the desert, that I told her, I don't want you going out there unless you're armed. And I even went and bought her a firearm that I felt like was appropriate for the time. But we found layovers, or layups as they were called. And one of the things that always troubled me, even, you know, going into the from the 90s into the turn of the century, the thing that really bothered me was how many of these layover sites had copies of the Quran and many other Arabic documents that always kind of troubled me. But anyway, you know, we knew they were there. We tried to adjust appropriately. And it wasn't near as bad for us because we were farther away from the actual border. And we did not encounter some of the things that happened. But during this time frame, my wife was working on the Tohono O'odham Indian Reservation as a teacher. And she was constantly coming home and telling, you know, about, you know, this day they were stopped by the Border Patrol, this day they were stopped by, you know, what have you, and they were wanting to search their vehicles for illegals and all this other stuff. Well, the thing that most people are in America are probably unaware of is that the Tohono O'odham Reservation, there are parts of it that are in America, and there are parts of it that are in Mexico. And this is a major thoroughfare for illegals, because the tribe is certainly not protecting the border. And so it ends up being, you know, quite the critical issue that we are, in effect, allowing these things to happen. Well, one of the things that really began to perturb me in the 1990s, because I was actually a volunteer basketball coach at my wife's school, and I was coaching the Special Olympics team, which was just a real pleasure and a real joy. As a matter of fact, pat myself on the back here, we actually won the Arizona State Championship with our special education team, something I'm very, very proud of. Unfortunately, many of those kids who played for me are no longer alive because of the tragedy that occurs on many of these reservations. It's just beyond compare the things that happen. But, you know, we also had something happen during that time frame that was really scary. And my wife came home one day and she said, "Are you aware that the Mexican military moved into San Pedro, which was a village on the Tohono O'odham Indian Reservation, that the Mexican military actually moved in full military gear and took over the village?" And I said, "That's on American soil." And Susanna says, "Yes, it is." And I said, "That's just wrong." So I called the Arizona State Police, and we're on top of that. Don't worry, we're on top of that. Really. So then I made a phone call to, at that time, Congressman, I'm trying to think of his name right now. Oh, Tom Tancredo. And I made a call to his office, and I said, "Look, there's something that's just not right here. Why is the Mexican military on U.S. soil with automatic weapons, you know, their tank-like vehicles and other stuff? Why is this allowed to happen, and why is nothing being done?" Well, ironically, Mr. Illegal Immigration Tom Tancredo, who would later destroy the Constitution Party, Mr. Tancredo didn't see fit to answer. And of course, you know, later on, I'll get with my reaction with him at a later date. But it was quite the issue. And so it's really kind of strange when we look at this. Why is our government totally not concerned with illegal immigrants coming across the border and creating crime and mayhem and all kind of activities? Why is it not concerned with that, but they would be concerned if that same threat was made against a government installation? Folks, the bottom line here is you don't matter. Only the government matters. And until you get that figured out, it just is not going to be anything of any importance for you whatsoever, is it? Strange as it is, folks. Strange as it is. It really is. That this country, the politicians are breaking the law, innocent people are in prison, and we are to look at our government as favorable in any way, shape, form, or fashion? You know, one of the things I was going to get into, and I will in the second part here when we come back after our break, the thing that I wanted to get into was during that time, shortly after this all occurred, I became one of the leaders of what was called the Minuteman Project in 2005. Now, and I was, we had two sections. We had the Naco line, as we called it, and we had the Huachuca line, Huachuca Mountains. And yes, that is where Fort Huachuca got its name, or Fort Hoochie Coochie, as we once referred to it. Now the home of the U.S. Army Intelligence Branch, and I've often wondered why they put that so close to the border. But anyway, that is something we shall get into shortly when we get to that. And folks, today, as I said, we will only be 2 hours. And in our last 30 minutes, we will take phone calls for those who would like to. But I really want to get into this, what we are experiencing now in America today. And they want to put these illegal immigrants, don't call them whatever the government calls them. They are illegal. And the government is illegal for supporting them. And the government knows that if they allow them to be called illegal, supporting them makes them also complicit in the crime, a crime which they have originated. And that's the reason that Mark Levin wants to take us back to Abraham Lincoln and put all of these people in the military so that we could get everybody shut up who opposes this government, just like Mr. Levin's hero, who is none other than Mr. Abraham Lincoln. So, anyway, folks, I'll kind of jump in here, and when the music starts, we'll switch on over. But in 2005, in the early spring, I was contacted by a couple of people in southern Arizona, and one of them was a Mr. Chris Simcox, who had moved from California after 9/11. Ah, here comes the music. Roger, tell him, buddy. We'll be back with you, folks. Support RBN.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar, is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Used to be Andy and Barney 5. Now a tired stern and a brothel life. Too much crap drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word of the evening news. Truth stood for years down the drain. Trailer parks with the building cold. Cul-de-sacs in the country road. High-tech bars, bad karaoke sounds. Uncle Sam keeps your money spent.
Ah, welcome back, folks. One of the hardest things in the world is to ever interrupt the fabulous hag. Merle Haggard was something else for sure. But anyway, we got to get back into our lesson for today. And I told you that in 2005, and I think it was probably March or somewhere in there, I got a call about becoming one of the leaders of the Minuteman Project. And when I got up there, they wanted me to take the Huachuca line and to supervise all of the people who would show up. And, you know, at that time, the thoughts were, well, we might get 25 or 30 people show up, folks. Probably one of the greatest outlays in history of Americans who truly would and will stand up for America was the Minuteman Project in Arizona of 2005. And that was because these people cared about America, and they knew that if we couldn't protect our own borders, we could not protect our culture and who we are as a people. But also at that time, I happened to be a columnist, I guess you would, essayist for LouRockwell.com. And so I wrote an article. After that month was over, I wrote an article. And then I followed it up with another article, which Lou said he couldn't print. But I want to read both of them to you, and you figure it out on your own. And my first article was called On the Border with the Vigilantes. Now, that was published on the 10th of May in 2005, you know, 10 days after the project was over. And so in my article, I said, unlike most of the 875 or so true American patriots that showed up in Arizona to do what our government refuses to do, I was not particularly upset with the comment by George W. Bush that referred to the Minuteman Project volunteers as vigilantes. Considering W.'s well-documented problems with the English language, I thought it might be possible that old George just did not want anyone on the border who might actually be vigilant. According to our government and the 9/11 Commission, it was the lack of vigilance by a bloated, incompetent, $40 billion a year federal bureaucracy that led to the catastrophic events of 9/11. Where exactly would George W. Bush be without 9/11 in history? A milquetoast wannabe dictator without the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, and vastly overpriced gasoline? Yes, folks, gas went almost as high under George W. Bush as it did under Biden. But, you know, we can't remember stuff like that because it will upset us and, you know, might mess with our bowl game this weekend. But vigilance is a lose-lose proposition for the Bush administration. What I found in those courageous volunteers who showed up on the border was truly inspiring. An elderly couple who drove their van all the way from Utah to spend some time on the border trying to spot illegals coming into their country. The gentleman had recently lost a leg to cancer, but was totally committed to the task of protecting the America he grew up in, that he saw slipping away to those in this country illegally. He held many spellbound with his account of crime, lost hospital facilities, and tax money being spent on programs for these professional lawbreakers. Often these accounts were given to news agencies whose reporters had tears streaming down, who noticed a tear streaming down the face of pure character, chiseled by years and experience. One cannot but wonder how much of the film of this vigilante ever found its way to the editor's floor. Then there was the couple from Southern California. He, a state-certified hospital facilities inspector, out of work for over 2 years because no new hospital facilities were being constructed. In fact, many hospital emergency rooms have been shut down in California because of the financial burden of treating illegal aliens without due compensation. His wife, a very beautiful lady, a naturalized citizen of Philippine descent, told everyone the story of her father joining the United States Navy and saving money for 10 years to be able to bring his family to America legally. This lady was surpassingly proud of her America and all it means to her. And she was most upset with those who cross illegally and make a mockery of the sacrifices of her father. Then there was the young lady who traveled all the way from Massachusetts to sit on the border for 2 days. Just 2 days. She proudly presented her work visa along with her driver's license as a form of identification. She told of taking 2.5 years to acquire the legal right to be in America from her home, the former Czechoslovakia. She described her experience of seeking INS advice on how to become a naturalized American citizen and being told, the best thing for you to do, young lady, is marry some American guy. This lady was most indignant that thousands daily just walk across a mostly unprotected southern border while she was forced to go through copious amounts of paperwork and wait for 2.5 years to be legal. There was the grandmother from Southern California who brought 5 of her grandchildren who were in their late teens or early 20s. They left California on a Friday after work and drove to Tombstone, Arizona, where they went through their 4-hour orientation and training and then took up positions on the Huachuca line through Saturday afternoon and night, and they left for home at 6 a.m. on Sunday. Then there was the chief of police from the University of Missouri and his wife, who came to the border on their anniversary, even though a grandchild was expected at any time. It was she who spotted 12 illegals dressed all in black with large backpacks coming through a culvert under Highway 92, which is considered a heavy drug corridor, around 2 a.m. one morning. She called the Border Patrol, as directed by the Minuteman Standard Operating Procedure, but by the time the Border Patrol found only eight of them, they were already asleep in a layover area near Hereford Road. Four of them, their backpacks, and the contraband inside were already gone. What if those who escaped that night were terrorists? And what if their contraband was explosives or a suitcase nuke to be used against American citizens? Well, we've got to help them in. We can't be, you know, crazy people who want to make sure that only people we trust come into our country. There was the gentleman who heard birds flying out of the brush on the Naco line in the early morning hours and called immediately the Border Patrol. 17 bundles of drugs listed by the Border Patrol as, quote, other than marijuana, unquote, and the illegals carrying them into America were apprehended due to this vigilante's vigilance. There was the elderly man from the state of Wisconsin who had driven his motorhome a great distance to be part of protecting his country. This man came to be known to us all as Bill Bill, a moniker that derived from the need to differentiate him from a multitude of volunteers and workers who also shared the name Bill or William. Bill Bill became an integral part of the operations of the Minuteman Project. He was the hub of activities at the Palominas Trading Post and was to tell several of us that this was the defining moment of his life. Although a very successful businessman, he felt he had done very little previously for this country that had provided him with the opportunity to be successful. He was a man of strong emotions we all grew to love and respect. Then there were the two brothers who drove all the way from Illinois to the Arizona border to participate. It was one of them, using his own night vision equipment, who spotted a group of 11 illegals crossing in the Huachuca sector. Ironically, he was able to detect them because one of the illegals had his own night vision with IR and was scanning the area for the vigilant Minuteman before attempting to cross. Kind of hard to believe that those who can afford state-of-the-art equipment, such as night vision with infrared, are actually coming to this country to mow grass or pick fruit. Yeah, right. There was the lady from Douglas, Arizona, who came to one of our meetings to bring us copies of a Mexican newspaper that depicted the Minutemen with crosshairs on their heads. All in that meeting were inspired with this lady, who with a strong Hispanic accent said, and I quote, "This is my country. This is my America. And what these papers are saying is just wrong," unquote. Then there was the lady and her husband at the Palominas Trading Post who stopped at our table and thanked us for being there. She told us that for the first time in years, she was able to sleep through the night without illegals crossing her property or banging on the door in the middle of the night. She was in tears when she told us that for the first time, she was able to let her grandchildren actually play in the yard without having to be there with them to watch them every minute. Then, folks, there were the gallant men and women of the Border Patrol, the boots on the ground, not the butts in the seats. These folks perform most admirably during our duty on the border, as they do for us 24/7, 365. They dared to challenge those in administrative positions who could do little more than parrot the positions of George W. Bush and Vicente Fox. They were rapid in their responses to all calls from the volunteers of the Minuteman Project. We were very proud of the statement issued by these courageous public servants in support of the Minutemen and the Minutewomen. Now, folks, most people don't know this, but the Border Patrol agents who were working with us during the Minuteman Project actually went to the Sierra Vista, Arizona newspaper at the end of April and purchased a full-page ad thanking us for what we did. And if I may, let me read that for you now. The Minuteman Project. We want to make it clear, because we've had a lot of questions about this. We have not had one single complaint from a rank-and-file agent in this sector about these Minutemen. Every report we've received indicates these people are very supportive of our rank-and-file agents. They're courteous. Many of them are retired firefighters, cops, and other professionals, and they're not causing us any problems whatsoever. Reports of them causing ground sensors to go off are highly exaggerated, because most of those are being set off by the ACLU sneaking around trying to find the Minutemen doing something wrong. The Minutemen have succeeded in shifting the bulk of the illegal alien traffic out of the NACO corridor. Folks, let me say that again. The Minutemen have succeeded in shifting the bulk of the illegal alien traffic out of the NACO corridor. If only President Bush were so supportive of the rank-and-file agents. While President Bush hangs out thousands of miles away in the White House, these people are willing to give up their time and energy to actually do something. While President Bush entices millions of illegal aliens to keep coming with his amnesty proposals and his demoralizing statements that he doesn't want Border Patrol agents chasing, quote, good-hearted people just coming here to take jobs Americans won't do, unquote. The Minutemen are trying to get our laws enforced. The Minutemen have made it very clear that they fully support rank-and-file Border Patrol agents. If only we had such support from the politicians we have to work for. Aren't we really supposed to be working for the citizens of this country anyway? Unquote. Yes, Mr. President, there were vigilantes on the border. Perhaps someday you and those in Washington may come to understand that they, not you and your political cohorts, are the real face of America. Unquote. Folks, I've still got a couple of copies of that newspaper that came out of Sierra Vista, and I'll tell you what, there's very few things in my life that I am more proud of than what those men and women had to say about us and our efforts and what we were trying to do in protecting the border. Folks, when you see some of these people, and when you looked at some of the property, I was riding with one of the Border Patrol agents one day, as we tried to do on a daily basis to make sure we were focusing in the same direction. And he told me several stories. He said, the one thing I can tell you is if they find a hot path, which means there's a lot of illegals coming through into this country, suddenly we are told as Border Patrol agents to move to another sector. He said, we don't pursue this. And folks, stop and think about two things too. You know, I'm sure that a lot of you who are conservatives have heard of the, you know, Fast and Furious program that came about by the wonderful Barack Obama. But how many people knew that he was not the originator of the Fast and Furious program that was involved in this country and allowing the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to put firearms into the hands of the Mexican drug cartels? which they used to kill a Border Patrol agent by the name of Brian Terry. So, folks, think about this. Is the government protecting you in any way, shape, form, or fashion with all of this Border Patrol BS that they're talking about? And I know I have some very good friends in Colorado who are telling me that what is happening there now in this once rural agrarian county of about 25,000 people, they've had cop shootings, they've had a cop killed on the streets, they've had all of these kind of things happening now. Burglaries are in just rapid advance. But how many people are aware that into that county they were actually booked and sent many illegals by bus, and they're building apartment buildings for them in this rural Colorado location? This is incredible, folks. This is what we're doing. If you look at it, how can you say for a minute that the government is protecting you? The only thing the government ever protects is itself. It never protects the people. That is such a falsehood. It just doesn't happen. They don't care about the people. The only thing they care about is feathering their own nest, more power, and more money. It's the name of the game. They could care less about you. And folks, we are about to get into some serious situation right here if we continue with this illegal deal the way it's going. Because these people are coming across in large numbers. Do not forget for a moment that the first director of Homeland Security, none other than one Mr. Tom Ridge, happened to be on a Sunday news program in which he made the statement when asked, I think it was Chris Matthews. Folks, don't hold me to that. I'm not exactly positive on that. But I remember it was someone on a Sunday talk show. And Tom Ridge was asked about suitcase nukes, the possibility of suitcase nukes coming across this border. And Tom Ridge just blurted out, yes, as a matter of fact, you know, we are tracking two of what we believe are suitcase nukes at this time. And he had their serial numbers. Well, folks, how would you have their serial numbers of these items if you weren't involved? Well, evidently, Mr. Ridge kind of stepped in it up to his backside, because that next week, Tom Ridge resigned as director of Homeland Security. Now, imagine that. Did he let the cat out of the bag, so to speak? Was that what occurred? Did Tom Ridge actually tell the American public? Oh, yes, we're tracking suitcase nukes. Why are you tracking them? Why did you not seize them? But then, for giving away that information, Mr. Ridge suddenly resigns. Of course, he got a lucrative job in the military-industrial complex. But we can't have people telling the truth in government now, can we? They must be immediately eliminated. And folks, what I'm going to do coming up on the second side here is to tell you about a follow-up article that I wrote about that and I sent it to Mr. Lou Rockwell himself for publication, and he refused to publish it. Now, I'm going to read that article to you in the second hour here, the first half of the second hour, and then we'll take phone calls after that. If you would like to chime in, I'd be happy to have you. Always happy to have you at republicbroadcastingnetwork.org, as long as you're polite, and no profanity. Profanity is not accepted on my programs. If it has my name on it, that means it will be without profanity, unless I mess up big time, which I've been known to do before, but that is not part of my program. Profanity does not fit an honorable, upright man. Not publicly, and not the ways that has been used on some occasions. So, again, that is my opinion, you know, and I stand for it. And that's what makes a great deal of difference to me. So, next, after the break, we're going to be looking at exactly, is this free immigration, which we know that it's breaking the law, and we know that the members of government who are facilitating it are breaking the law. Where does it belong, folks? Where does this take us? And why would our government allow foreigners to come into this country? Oh, why did Abraham Lincoln allow it? Why did Abraham Lincoln bring all of this Marxist in to destroy the South? And, you know, those, let's not forget the northern states that disagreed with him. So looks like we're looking at about 30 seconds left to go before the break, top of the hour break. And folks, I would remind you that after the second hour, it'll be switching over to Blackbird 9, who's going to have 2 hours of his roundtable. Some wonderful guests on there. I'm just going to do my best to keep my mouth shut and listen. But it is just absolutely great. Frederick has done a great job putting all these people together. And folks, please tune in. Sounds to me like you got something called a free bird coming down the line. Are we free birds or captive owls? Love you.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pauti Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.